Have you ever gotten a really good gift? Something that maybe you weren't expecting? I've had multiple times over my life where something like that happened. One of them I remember really well. I was 16, it was Christmas time, and there was a large box under the tree. And, you know, we went through all of the small presents, and I didn't think I was getting a whole lot, you know. And so you're opening these small things. It's like, oh, socks. Oh, this. Oh, that, you know. And it's just kind of your parents are kind of tricky a little bit because then they finally pull out this big package behind the tree and they hand it to you. And I hadn't asked for much that year. As a 16-year-old, I was probably pretty hard to buy for. I hadn't asked for much. And so I start to unwrap the box. It was oddly shaped, and I couldn't think of what it was. And I open the box, and there it is inside, a guitar. My first guitar. I was 16 years old. I'd never played guitar before. My parents kind of just took a shot. They saw that I was kind of interested in what my youth pastor was doing. He played guitar and led part of our youth ministry band. And so they saw maybe some interest there. I'd played piano a little bit, but really didn't like it. I really wish I'd kept going. Kids that play piano now, keep going in your lessons, because later on in life you'll wish you had. That's at least my position. But I got this instrument and I had no idea what to do with it. Never played guitar before. I knew kind of how to read music just from learning piano, but I started trying to figure stuff out, and I couldn't. So the next few weeks were going to music stores and getting books and getting the accessories, the picks, and other things I would need in order to be able to play this guitar. I didn't know what it would turn into. Now, years later, I still use that gift, not the same guitar. But I still use that gift that was part of that surprise gift that I got at the age of 16. It was a good gift. This morning we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit's impact. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. We're walking through the book of Acts. We've titled this To the Ends of the Earth. It's based on Acts 1:8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The book of Acts is kind of separated. Jerusalem is the first one where the Holy Spirit comes and they begin to hear this gospel. And it goes on to Judea, Samaria, and at the end of the book, it's moving into Rome. That's kind of the ends of the earth because they were the epicenter for the Roman world. Last week we talked about in Acts chapter 1 the preparation that was needed. We talked about the promise that was given by Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit would come. We're not going to look at the period in between, but from Acts chapter 1 verses 12 through the end of the chapter, verse 26 there, they choose Matthias. Judas, you know, had betrayed Jesus. The Bible tells us he went out and hung himself. And they needed to choose another one of the followers of Jesus, someone who had been around with Jesus and had seen the miracles and experienced it. And there were two there that met that criteria. Maybe there were more, I don't know. But they chose two, and then they cast lots, the Bible tells us. There were different ways to cast lots in that day and age. I don't know exactly what it was. It's kind of like drawing straws. You know, and they would pick, and obviously the Bible says it was done through great prayer as well, but Matthias was the one that was chosen. Wanted to mention that because we're not specifically covering it this morning, but just to give you something, a context for where we're at. This morning, rather than me standing up here and reading the Bible, there was a movie made. It's made by the producers of the Jesus Project, and they took the book of Acts and they put video to it, and so they act out the book of Acts. And I'm going to show you a small portion of that. The movie is about 3.25 hours long. It's online if you want to look it up, and you go through it goes through the whole book of Acts. And so you could see that. But this is just about a 2.5 minute clip just of the passage. You can follow along in your Bible if you'd like. Guys, you ready back there? All right, I'm getting head nods. Brian, can you make it go? There we go. We have sound with it?
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked,
"Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?
Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia,
Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene.
Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs.
We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues."
Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another,
"What does this mean?"
Some, however, made fun of them and said,
"They have had too much wine."
Then Peter said,
so we're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, that was just read for you. The time frame for this passage, it's given in verse 1 there. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived. Pentecost was the second annual harvest festival. It came 50 days after Passover. Passover, when Jesus died and was buried. Days later, when he was resurrected. 50 days after Passover. Pentecost literally means the 50th. So the 50th day. If you look, turn back to Leviticus 23, we're not going to read it this morning, but if you read Leviticus 23, it's known as the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks back in Leviticus chapter 23. The Holy Spirit came in, and I don't know exactly what it looked like. They had their version of what the noise and the visual that they would see. But the Holy Spirit came in, and he impacted the disciples. There were several ways that the Holy Spirit impacted the disciples. First, he impacted disciples by giving sight to see his work. He impacted them to give sight to see his work. Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit would come and empower them. But how would the disciples know that this promise had arrived? How would the disciples know that the Holy Spirit had come? One commentary I read this week said, his coming, the Holy Spirit's coming, had to be clear, objective, and unmistakable to all who were there. There needed to be some form of evidence. They needed to be able to hear it or see it. They had to know somehow that the Holy Spirit had come, that there was his presence was now indwelling those who believed in Jesus Christ. And God did that. He gave two physical evidences of the Holy Spirit coming in and empowering the early believers. We read later that there was about 120 in that upper room. 120 who were followers of Jesus Christ. And the two physical evidences, first there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. I don't know if you've ever been outside when it's really windy or been around when there's a tornado. The sound of that wind. You can't see it, but you sure can hear that sound. And then the second one, that there were tongues like fire that came in. I don't know about you, but I think I'd be pretty scared if that happened. That'd be my first reaction. I wouldn't know what was going on. But these are the evidences, and these two evidences are at times attributed with who God is. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that our God is a consuming fire. Throughout Scripture, it talks about God is wind, God is fire. So these two attributes of God are used to send the Holy Spirit. They were vividly able to see just the supernatural power of who the Holy Spirit was and see him come upon their fellow believers. It was much like Jesus when he was baptized. Those who were there saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon him. There was a physical presence that was shown. Sometimes we don't take the time to look for the supernatural around us. And I'm not talking about a mysticism or any type of magic or anything like that, but I'm talking about God's presence through the Holy Spirit, seeing things like how he heals those who are sick. Seeing how he uses others to encourage, maybe when you're feeling down. Seeing God's hand of protection in situations when you know it could have been much worse. These are physical things that we can see that God is doing. There was a second way that the Holy Spirit impacted the disciples. The second way that there were gifts given to do his work. There were gifts given to do his work. At first glance, as we heard the passage read, it may dawn on you that maybe that's the only gift that was given here was the speaking in tongues that's talked about, in the other languages. These men from around the world were speaking, and maybe that's all there is, but it's not. There are gifts given of the Holy Spirit. One of them is the Holy Spirit comes and indwells each believer. That happens right in this passage. The Bible says that they came in like tongues of fire and went upon each of them. That the Holy Spirit indwells each believer, that's one of the gifts we are given. The Holy Spirit is literally taking up residence in our lives. He's moving in. He's changing his address. He's unloading the moving truck. He's unpacking the boxes. The Holy Spirit is moving in, and those boxes he unpacks in your life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. as the Holy Spirit is moving in and dwelling inside of you. He is working on those fruit, working to develop them in your life. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, he says, "By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Guard the salvation that's entrusted to you. Guard the gifts that are entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells within you." We are indwelled with the Holy Spirit as one of the gifts. Another gift was the formation of the spiritual body of Christ, the church. This is the formation of God's church, God's body coming together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body." The Holy Spirit was, they were baptized into the Holy Spirit that day. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Another commentary I read said, "The baptism of the Spirit is that act of God by which He identified believers with the exalted head of the church, Jesus Christ, and formed the spiritual body of Christ on earth." The body of Christ was then formed. Paul is talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the gifts that are given. 1 Corinthians 13 we know is the love chapter. But Paul is talking about the gifts that are given in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He talks about some who may look at one gift and say, "Well, I want that gift because that's the greatest gift." But Paul says all the gifts that are given are to be used, and they're all important. They're all important for the body of Christ. So there's a formation of the spiritual body of Christ. Not only is the formation of the body, but there's unity of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is to be unified because of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. The church was given one message to proclaim, and that is the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 3 says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We're to have unity because it's the same Holy Spirit that dwells in all of us. In some respects, the Holy Spirit's coming was a reversal of the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, remember in Genesis, where they were building this tower and they want to build it so high that it's up into the heavens, the Bible tells us. But God chooses to give judgment because of their arrogance, because of their pride, because of their wanting to be like God once again. And God gives judgment and confuses their languages. And so now in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and what was dispersed because of the scattered people is now being united because of the believers in the Spirit. At Babel, the people who were unable to understand each other because now they spoke different languages, now at Pentecost, men are hearing praises in their own language. They're hearing the mighty works of God in their own languages because now God is mending those languages, allowing others to hear. That brings us to our last one, the ability to evangelize in other languages. The ability to evangelize in other languages. See, as a Christian, the Bible tells us we've each been given gifts. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have gifts of the Holy Spirit. You are gifted. Maybe we all need to say that this morning. I am gifted. Say it with me. I am gifted. The Holy Spirit gives each of us gifts. Some of those gifts you use for teaching. Some of those gifts are used with music. Some of those gifts are used with encouraging others. There are tons of different gifts that the Bible says we are given, and those are given through the Holy Spirit. There are many gifts that the Bible says. 1 Corinthians talks about that, chapter 12, as well as Romans chapter 12. Some of those gifts listed are faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, service, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, speaking in tongues, interpreting, and mercy. And I see many of these gifts used today. I believe several of these gifts were specifically for the beginning of the church. They were used in order for the beginning of the church to start forming and to really get kicked off. I think God can choose to use these gifts today. He does not always do that. But it's for a specific purpose. If God chooses to use these gifts, He's doing them for a specific purpose. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 said, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has granted to us all things. Say all things. He's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you think you don't have what it's going to take to be a Christian? The Bible tells us through His divine power, He's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. He's giving you giftings. He's giving you power. He's giving you wisdom in order that you might grow in Him. You see, His divine power has given us all things so that we can grow in Him. We can have spiritual growth. And we can further His gospel message. So, how are you using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you? How are you using those things, whether it be service or giving or teaching? How are you using those gifts to serve God? How is God using those gifts in your life in order that you are growing in your faith? You are developing those gifts. I got a guitar. I was given a gift. It was a really good gift, but I had no idea how to use it. We got Ellie. Yesterday we went around and did some garage sailing in Bourbon because there were like 50-some garage sales. We found this pink guitar with princesses on it. That is Ellie, right? She wanted and wanted and wanted to play it. We got home, and then it was time for a nap. And so she got up. Stacy was outside manning the garage. I don't know if she heard any of this or not. But Ellie came inside, and she picked up her guitar, and she was writing her own song. Now, the musical notes were not very good. It had not been tuned. The strings were dead. Like, it's not the greatest. But she was starting to figure out how to use that gift that was given. For me, it took time and practice to develop that gift that was given. The same thing for all of us. The Holy Spirit gives us a gift, but if we don't use it, I'm not going to say we lose it, because we don't lose it. We're still given the gift, but we have to practice at the gift. We have to use the gift. We have to develop the gift in order that it might both help us grow spiritually and further the gospel message. There's a final way that the coming of the Holy Spirit impacted the disciples, and that was by giving boldness to proclaim God's work. They're given boldness. There's a lot of people in this passage. There's a lot of names that if I asked you to read them publicly right now, you wouldn't necessarily know how to pronounce them. But they're from all over. You see, they'd all come for Pentecost, and they're from all over. They're from Arabia, Egypt, Judea, Cyrene, Crete, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Cappadocia, Pontus, Mesopotamia, Parthia, Media, Elam, Rome. Why did God choose this moment to send the Holy Spirit? God's timing is perfect, remember? Why did God choose at this exact moment to send the Holy Spirit? All these people were in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, 50 days. It's the beginning of the spread of the gospel. They hear the message, each in their own language. When the Bible talks about speaking in tongues, specifically in this passage, it is the languages of that area. They aren't unknown languages. They are the languages of the people. Now, was that a physical, they were speaking a different language? Or was it were the people there hearing a different language? What was God's miracle there? It could have been both. I don't know. We just know that those who were in that upper room received the Holy Spirit, and those who were below were hearing this in their own native language. The spread of the gospel begins to happen. You have to think that these people did not stay in Jerusalem. Those who were saved, and we'll learn more about that next week, those who were saved would go back to their homes. This is why Paul, as he's traveling throughout the world, recognizes churches in areas where maybe he or another apostle, another evangelist had never been. Because those who heard that message that day went back and proclaimed it to those in their area. There was a boldness to proclaim God's work. What were they proclaiming? The Bible tells us that they were proclaiming, verse 11, the mighty works of God. The mighty works of God, the things that had happened through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that many are amazed and perplexed. That they maybe need more explanation, but others just mocked them. They said, but others mocking, verse 13, said they are maybe just filled with too much new wine. Maybe they've been drinking too much. Maybe they're drunk. But they weren't filled with wine. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was giving them gifts in order to spread the gospel message and to spread it boldly. You see, the message of the gospel will always be controversial. It was controversial when Jesus preached it to the Jews and they were supposed to accept him as the Messiah. It was controversial then. Some wanted to stone Jesus at times, and many of the early believers faced persecution. Many of the early believers were killed because of their faith. Is the gospel controversial today? Is the Bible and God's word controversial today? I see some head nodding. Yeah, it's still controversial. Maybe not in the United States do we face persecution that could kill us, but many other countries around the world face a persecution where if they talk about their faith, if they share their faith, they could be killed for what they say. You see, in the midst of a culture that's divided, I think our nation is somewhat divided. In the midst of a culture that's divided, I think we're still called to be bold. We're still called to proclaim God's word. And boldness is a theme of the book of Acts. the boldness of the apostles, the boldness of those who we will read about, where they are going to proclaim God's word in the midst of a controversial culture. So are you bold in telling others about Jesus Christ? Are you bold in telling about the good works of what God has done in your life? How are you being bold? I know I've had conversations with people, and at times I hear the Holy Spirit tell me, well, maybe you should tell them about Jesus. Maybe you should ask a question. And I get scared. But you're the preacher. You shouldn't get scared. Paul even says, pray for me that I may proclaim God's word boldly. Paul says that. I think it's Ephesians chapter 5. He says that. Pray for me that I will proclaim God's word boldly. We all need a little prayer to proclaim God's word boldly. Sometimes I feel the Holy Spirit asking me to tell somebody, but I fear that, well, what are they going to think of me? Is this going to change about how they feel about me? What if I don't do it right? What if I say something that offends them? What if they don't like me anymore? Well, a lot of those are about me. When I should probably be thinking about, how would this have an impact on them? Is it possible that this could be one seed that's planted in their life that begins to grow? Begins to help them have faith? Thinking about the other person rather than just what they might think of me. That's hard. But sharing Jesus is not about me. What if it's the right time for them to hear? What if you're the right person to tell them the message of the good news of Jesus Christ? So this morning, just in closing, the Holy Spirit impacts us today with sight to see His work. Be looking for God's work. Gifts to do His work. I'm gifted. I'm not saying that like a proud, boastful. No, the Holy Spirit has given me gifts because I believe in Jesus Christ. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has given you gifts as well. And we're called to have boldness to proclaim the works which God is doing. We're called to proclaim the works which God is doing. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that you would work in your Holy Spirit in each of our lives. God, for those of us who are believers in you, that you would use your Holy Spirit to develop our gifts. Use your Holy Spirit to help us see the things that you are doing around us. Use your Holy Spirit to give us the power and be bold in proclaiming your word. Father, I ask that you would continue to work in this church, continue to work in our community, work in lives that need to hear about your message. Help us to show each other love. Help us to show the many blessings your Holy Spirit gives to us, to those who need to see them. And God, I just pray that you would help us as we impact a culture that is just so divided. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.